If you would look earlier in Shemos, in Perek Vav, Pasuk Zayin, you would hear Hashem's actual discussion with Moshe Rabbeinu, what the goal is of this whole Yetzias Mitzrayim. And there Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "V'lokachti eschem li la'on." I will take you for me as an am, as a nation. The objective, I'm going to read you what Hirsch says about that pasuk. It's a point that he refers back to many, many times throughout all his writings. The objective of the Geula from Mitzrayim was not to create what he calls a religious congregation, to worship him. That's not the goal of Judaism, to have a bunch of people davening in shul and putting on tzitzis and doing frum things. That's not the point. But a people, a nation, a society. From this redemption must emerge a state whose whole social existence is to be rooted in God, built by him, founded upon him, fashioned by him, and dedicated to him. So in the Korban Pesach, through this very first communal mitzvah that we have, it's through the Korban Pesach that God laid the foundation stone of this building called this society of Li La'am, this nation that Hashem wanted to create. So the symbolism we're going to learn about is really the foundation of how of all the ideas that are rooted in every point of the whole Torah, which is there to mold and create this society, which is a society which Hirsch later and often talks about is tzedakah u'mishpat. Tzedakah and mishpat. Mishpat is a sense of justice and what's fair, and tzedakah is a sense of duty and obligation, where it's more than just doing the right thing, not harming somebody, but it's feeling a sense of duty to be proactively caring about others. And all the halachas of the Torah, in some way or another, are there to be a godly instruction to how the society, with God who instructs and pulsates through the society, wants us to live. So let's get started. If you want to follow along with me, great. If not, you're going to hear it all just from the bullet points I'm going to raise. As I mentioned before I started this year, there are 13 bullet points we're going to go through here. I made an outline for myself of all the halachas of Korban Pesach that Rav Shamshon Paul Hirsch talks about here, and turns out to be 13 points, and they're all very key. But I'm going to do it through the psukim, and Be'ez Hashem, we'll get through it in half an hour, amazingly. So let's see. So we're going to skip the first two psukim in Perek Yud Beis. That's we're talking about the mitzvah of sanctification of the new moon. That's a whole separate discussion. And we'll jump right into Korban Pesach. So it's Perek Yud Beis in Shmos, Pasuk Gimel, is where the Korban Pesach is discussed. So Dabru El Kol Adas Yisrael Lemar. Hashem says, speak to the whole community of Israel, saying, the community, Adas Yisrael. So here Hirsch points out, it's the same idea. This is the society united by a common calling. Well, that's a community. And you should tell them, Be'esor l'chodesh hazeh, on the 10th of this month, that's 4 days before the Korban Pesach. From there we learn the idea of bikur, a korban, to prepare in advance, to make sure that there's no blemish on the korban, to buy it 4 days in advance, and to be inspecting it to make sure no blemish occurs during that time leading up to it either. V'yikhu lohem ish, se leves avos, se labayis. There's a lot packed into this pasuk. So ish, a man, should purchase for you, should take, each man should take for himself, a se, a lamb, leves avos, for each parental home, se labayis, a lamb for each household. There's two levels of family we're talking about, and the very fact that it talks about man is also significant. We were slaves until then. And this is the beginning of Hashem making his point that we're no longer going to be slaves. In front of our masters, we bought these lambs. We now actually own something, and we have our own property. We're no longer owned by somebody else. Hashem is giving us ourselves back. And a person we're going to see in the next psukim coming up, that we shecht it. V'yichu lahem ish. Well, actually, right here it's alluded to that one person's going to take, but for the whole group. Somebody has to do the shechting. He's representing the rest. From here we learn equality. Shlucho shel adam kamoso, that each person can represent others because we're all in this together. There's a sense of equality in our society. The Beis Avos and the Bayis, these are different kinds of families. The Beis Avos, on one hand, means a family that's connected to the ancestor of the family. Sel Abayis, Abayis is individual homes, a family that has their own children and grandchildren. So that it's actually, he calls this it's ascending and descending family units. Let me read to you the way he puts it. It's really very beautiful. The ties that bind children to their parents, uniting even the married children who already have children of their own, around the grandfather and the great-grandfather in a single Beis Avos. That's the larger family unit, almost a tribe. But it goes descending as well. The ties that bind parents to their children, where the children establish homes of their own in which to live for, and through their own offspring, even as their parents had lived for them and will continue to live on through them. So, you know, there's, imagine you got the grandfather running the Seder with the Korban Pesach, and he's thinking about what it was. Of course, in Mitzrayim, this is the very first one, but through the generations. You got the grandfather who himself was a child of a father who did this for him. And we continue on through the next generations. It goes up and down. Both this whole larger family unit. So we're free people. We have our own property. We represent one another. And we join together to participate in this Korban Pesach as a larger family unit, but understanding both the hierarchy as well as the values of each individual home. But then it goes on to say something that's really interesting. A very interesting halacha comes out next. Pasuk Dalad, v'im yimat habayis mihiyos miseh, if the household should be too small for one lamb, you have too much lamb and too few people. Now, how does that happen? Well, you could be a really small family and it's a really big lamb. But the Gemara, without getting into the proofs that Hirsch gets into in detail, not going to learn the whole Gemara share here, says that from here we learn people have the right, even though we just talked about how beautiful it is to have this larger family unit, people have the right to pull out of this group. And if you don't feel like hanging with your cousins and your uncle and your aunt, and you want to go somewhere else and join a different group, you're entitled to. Because everyone has the right to independence, equality and freedom and private property. You can go be your own person. No one is forcing you into this. It's beautiful when you willingly want to participate in this way, but no one is being coerced into this. So what do you do if some of the cousins and uncles and aunts, they pull out and now you're not supposed to have anything left over. We'll talk about that soon. That's coming up. So what are you supposed to do? So you go to your neighbor and you say, we need more people so that we can each have the minimum share and still complete the lamb. So they can join you. Everyone can join any group they want, up until the moment of Shechita. Then he and his neighbor, the pasuk goes on to say, "V'lokachu shcheinu hakar v'besos," near his house, they'll together join in and buy a korban pesach. "B'michsas nefashos," they should take according to the added number of souls. "Ish l'fi achlo t'choso alaseh," according to each man's eating, shall you make your count for the lamb. This too is significant. We'll soon find out why. But basically it means at the time that you shech the Korban Pesach, you have to have in mind that you are going to get it for people who actually are capable of eating. If someone has a condition where he's not able to swallow properly or he's sick, they can't be, they get considered at the table, but they can't participate in the Korban Pesach and nibble at it, that they're not included in this, because it's very significant, as we'll soon see, in the symbolism of this carbon, that the shechita should be for the sake of eating and that actual eating should take place of the carbon. Okay, so the pasuk describes what exactly is this carbon. Se, samim, it should be a complete lamb, meaning without any blemishes. Zachar, a male, ben shana, within its first year, yiyalochem. And you have a choice. Mina kevasim umina izim tikachu. It could be from the sheep or from the goats. So it's in its own category, but goats are also included in that. There's different personalities here. The seh, what does a seh represent? Well, a seh represents, there's a pasuk somewhere that we are tzon mar'iso. We're Hashem's flock. Hashem is the shepherd, and we're his flock. This is very important in the beginning of our national creation, that while we're being given our freedom, and Hashem is telling us, you're an individual, and you're given rights. You can pull away from the family. You're an owner, and you're going to own a sheep, and you're going to be representative of others, and everyone's equal. That's all true. But what's the hope and the goal of all this freedom is for us to be under the guidance of Hashem. So while we have our freedom, the goal is to be free under the guidance of Hashem. So if you think about this picture, you have each individual, each household, each family, and the entire community as a whole, and as individuals, are to see themselves in their relationship to God as a seh, dedicated to being tzon mariso, God's flock, under Hashem's guidance and direction. Hirsch points out often here, and I looked it up also two or three other places in the Chumash, that the Karban Tamid, which is the daily sacrifice we have in the Beis HaMikdash, and today we daven Shacharis HaMincha, which is the parallel to that, is the continuation of the idea that first started with the Karban Pesach, and that is that we are Hashem's sheep. The Karban Tamid was also from a sheep, and it was a community Karban. And we as an entire nation are to constantly never let this idea slip, and that's why every day in the morning it starts, the very first Karban of the day, and at the end of the day, it's the last carbon of the day. And everything in between is supposed to fit into this concept. Whatever else we're doing with all the other symbolism of carbonus and activity in the life of a Jew. But everything is, in a general sense, we are God's sheep under his guidance. So the Karban Tamid is a very key link. And it's really, this is, like I said, this is the foundation of the nation through the Karban Pesach. And every single day, in the Holy Holies, right, the Beis HaMikdash, and every message that it has to offer us, this is the same message that we, that Judaism wants to constantly refer back to. And we don't have a Beis HaMikdash anymore. When we come to Daven, this is a theme, hopefully throughout our Davening, that we remember this. Now this carbon that we offer, it's not just a little meek lamb, says Hirsch. It's not just, what does the Torah say about this lamb? So it has a couple of descriptions about the lamb. We just said in Pasuk, hey, it's tamim, it's totally complete, which means our entire bodies, everything that we have, should be dedicated to Hashem. It's zachar, he calls it manly vigor. The intensity and the power, everything we've got should be dedicated to Hashem. And then it's ben shana, within its first year. Freshness of eternal youth, the excitement of a kid. But we're not talking about children here. We're talking about this represents us, and we should feel excited, youthful, energetic. All of this is the idea of the sheep that's God's flock. However, one of the options isn't just to have a sheep, but also minoizim, not just minakvas, a lamb, but it could be from the goats. Now, a goat, we mentioned this earlier by the Bris Ben Avisarim, a goat is a little bit tougher. It's resistant to outsiders. It listens to its master, but it offers resistance to outside influence. And so too, we're supposed to be a bit stubborn in our dedication to Hashem. So all of this is represented in the carbon. So we've got, so far, let's just digest before we go on. So we've got independent man, that's Ish. Lebes Avos, that's a whole tribe with the Zaydi and the Babi and the top. And then celibias, each individual home matters. But the right to pull out represents each individual's freedom, because free will is a critical part. We're not bound by anything. This is we're bound by duty, not by some forced law on us, by the ideas, as we mentioned, of tzedakah u'mishpat, of doing the right thing and being kind to others. And I must add something that he mentions here. One of the aspects of the Karban Pesach is that if we have too much, we got to find somebody else. The idea here is, while it's true that, of course, Jewish society, part of it is that we care for the poor, we care for the underprivileged. Of course, that's a very Jewish thing. All these famous gemachs that throughout the generations we've always had. But here we're learning another aspect of Jewish charity and Jewish kindness. Here, the extra abundance that we have, we don't know what to do with this extra. We have too much lamb. We don't know what to do with it. And Hashem is telling us, go find somebody to give it to. Abundance is another source of why we're giving to somebody else. Abundance, Hashem wants us to take the wealth that he gives us and not to just have more and more and build a fancier swimming pool in our backyard and gold glittery houses. That's not the point of the abundance, is to use that abundance and see where in your society can you make the world a happier, better place. That it's coming from a good place where you help others. Of course, the other thing is true as well. Okay, so this sheep we keep for 4 days. That's Pasuk Vav. And then you shecht it, okay, in the afternoon. And then, hold on a second. What do you do with this blood? Pasuk Zayin. V'lokhu min ha'dam. You take from this blood. And blood, always in a carbon, represents the life force. Now, we're dedicating our life force to Hashem, right? That's what the representative concept of this whole sheep is. The sheep is following God's guidance. And we're giving it over to God. We're shechting it. But says Hirsch, wait a minute. We're not just giving it away. There's a thing called Kabbalas Hadam. It gets received in something. And it gets uplifted in some way. V'lokhu min hadam. In this case, you take it from the blood. V'nasnu al shtei hamezuzos. You put it on the two doorposts. The Yal HaMashkof, and you put it on the upper part of the door, by the roof. Al HaBatim, by the houses, upon the door of the houses. Asher Yochlu Osob, and you're going to eat it inside those houses. There's a lot of beautiful symbolism in this. The idea of a mezuzah represents the sides of the house. That represents the walls of your house. The social isolation. That's you're all the whole family's together in the home, protected from the outside stuff all around you, all the things in society. But on the roof, we're protected from the natural forces, protection of the forces of nature. We take this blood, which represents our dedication to Hashem, and we don't just give it all away and it's gone. We get it right back. And what does it give us? What does our dedication to Hashem give us? It gives us, it's not the walls that protect us, and it's not the roof that protects us. It's our very, very dedication to Hashem. That's what gives the walls real protecting powers. That's what gives our roof ability to protect us from the forces of nature. Isn't that beautiful? Okay, so then the Torah goes on to say, And we're all, as a family, like I said, eating this together. Where you eat it, the achila, oh, one more time, let's stress this point. The eating of the carbon is itself the very same point. You can't leave over any of this meat. It's noisar, it's called extra, and it's not a good idea. Why? Because the shechita has to lead to achila. The shechita itself, the shechita shouldn't be its own thing. We don't just kill ourselves in the process of dedicating ourselves to God, and that's it. It has to lead to something that's representative of our personal joy when we give, and it's true of all Shlomim, he says. When we're dedicating our life force to Hashem, we then get something from it, and that's why we get to eat it. There shouldn't, and that's why that when we shech the carbon Pesach, it has to be l'manuyav u'la'oichlov. For the people, it has to have in mind that this will be eaten. Because the goal of dedicating yourself to Hashem is not to give it all away to God, but through your dedication, you will be uplifted and you'll be protected. So dafka, because of this idea, Hashem wants us to partake of the carbon. It's not enough to deshecht and say, we're giving it. It's okay, Hashem, you can have it. No, Hashem says, I want you to have it. I want you to understand this lesson. You're going to get from this carbon Pesach. Okay, so now the Torah says, and we mentioned this last week, v'achlu pasuk ches, you should eat, that's why dafka this night. You shouldn't leave over for the next night. You have to eat it, and it has to be now. Because there shouldn't be any separation. Right? Because if you would have it at a different time, you would think that eating is itself its own concept. No, the eating has to be connected to your dedication to Hashem. And the dedication to Hashem has to be connected to you receiving something, to have the joy. Tzli Eish Umatzos Amarorim Yochluhu. So we pointed out last week there are three concepts here that are exactly parallel to the three ideas in the Bris Ben Avasarim, and they were Geras, Avdus, and Inui, if you recall. So these ideas are, well, first of all, Tzli Eish. Tzli Eish says the way you have to cook it, it's hanging in the air. Just like someone who's an alien, doesn't really have his feet on the ground. He doesn't really belong in this country. They barely allowed that to be there. He has no roots in the place. So Tzli Eish, the Kabbalah represents during the time that you were in Mitzrayim, you weren't a citizen there. Umarorim, the bitterness, obviously, the bitter herbs, represents the suffering, the inui. And the Tzli Eish, that was the Geras. And the Matzos, obviously, represents the Avdus, that we were Avadim, that's the food of Avadim. And even when we left Mitzrayim, that represented the fact that we, even at the moment of leaving, the only reason why we're going free is because Hashem is freeing us. But even at the very last second, we had to remember, you're not free until Hashem wants you to be free. And by the way, it all happens at once. You have to take the entire animal all at once. I think there's a pasuk that says that too. The whole thing has to be cooked all at the same time. Is that this pasuk here? Just a moment. No, it's right here. It's the next pasuk. Al tochlu mimenu na. You can't eat from it half done or cooked in water. Uvashel mevusha b'mayim, or cooked in water. You can't. It has to be over the open flame. Kiyam tzliyesh, only roasted over the open flame. And then rosho al kra'a v'al kirbo. Every part of it, the head, the legs, all the entrails, the guts, it all has to be all together, because every aspect of us, remember, this represents us, the sheep of Hashem. There isn't any part of us that's going to be left out, that should be left out in our avodat Hashem. So all at once, every part of us which was enslaved, all at once, all of it is now being set free, and all of it should be dedicated to Hashem. We talked about Nosar. Lastly, another halacha here is, we talked about Nosar, Lo Sasir Min HaBoker, you can't leave it over till the morning. I mentioned to you already that if you would, then it would separate the Shechita from the Achila, which we don't want to do because those are two opposite messages. As I mentioned to you, I'll read it quickly. Achila separate from Shechita would represent independence gained not on the basis of surrender and commitment to God. So that's why it has to be the same day. Okay, and leaving anything over beyond the day of offering would imply the possibility of gaining independence without self-devotion. So both have to be there together. And lastly, the last halacha is b'chipazon. You have to eat it in a position of eating it quickly. B'chacha tochlu oso. You have to eat it this way. Masnechem chagurim. Your loins are girded. You got a belt on. Na'alechem baraglechem. You're wearing shoes. U'makelchem. Your walking stick b'yedchem is in your hand. You should eat it as if you're in a big hurry, like you want to get out of there. You're scared. You're a slave, and you're feeling the frustration of your slavery, and you wish to get out of there. Pesach hu l'Hashem. So Hirsch says the word Pesach, he proves it. I'm not going to get into his Hebrew proofs, but he says the word Pesach means, just like a Pesach is someone who's lame, Pesach means a halting, slow, deliberate walking. I know everyone says Pesach means Hashem skipped over the houses. Okay. Hirsch would like to go another direction. Pesach was a slow, deliberate walking. In other words, they felt the dread all around them at that moment. They knew the possibility that they could have been killed as well. And they felt the presence of Hashem deliberating whether they're capable of being saved or not. What gave them the schus to not be stricken as the Mitzrayim war was because of the very thing they were doing at that moment, which was all of this Korban Pesach that we discussed. The family ties, the children understanding who the ancestors are, the ancestors having the hope in the next generation, the being a set to Hashem, dedicating themselves to Hashem. And the idea to understand that when you dedicate yourself, you don't lose yourself, but actually you're gaining, and Hashem will give you the simcha of life in that. That your protection is not from your walls and your roof, but it's from Hashem. And to remember that until this moment, you were avodim, matzos merorim tzliyesh, so you were gerim, you're avodim, you had inui, all of that. And you have to link the shechita to the achila because your dedication leads to your joy. And you wish you could get out now, and you're scared of what could happen. Right now, there's death all around you. And the only thing that protects us at this moment is the fact that you're dedicating yourself to Hashem. This is the foundation. This is what began Klal Yisrael. But again, the idea that we were going to care about another neighbor and have them included in our carbon doesn't come from poverty, because Nebuch the neighbor has no one to eat by. It's true also. We say that too in the beginning, right? We say, in the beginning of God, whoever poor should come and eat. But it's much more than that. We used to join together because we had too much. And Hashem wants us to, when we have too much, to be on the outlook for who do we share with. That's a very important Jewish principle. It's not just to take care of the poor, but that we, with our own wealth, should understand that that bracha is to promote good in this world, not just mishpat, to not harm your neighbor, but tzedakah, the concern to do good in the world and to promote good in the world. That's the message of that if there's too few people to eat this carbon, that means you've got too much wealth. You got to do something with that wealth. You got to share it. And that's true. And that's a message for all of the creation of Li La'am, the society that Hashem made. The society is a society, not just frumkeit, people in shul, davening and shuckling. And like I said, this is the message, not just of Karban Pesach, but this translates into the Karban Tamid every morning and every afternoon and every tefillah, shachris, and mincha. The idea of dedicating our lives, that we are Hashem's tzon marisa, we're Hashem's sheep. This is a theme throughout all of Yiddishkeit. So with this, I wish you all happy cleaning. I hope that I didn't pack it in too fast, but it's going to be hopefully on the website to Chazer if you want to review all the details. There's a lot of good stuff in there. The truth is that as I was going through the Perek this Shabbos, I saw the first two psukim again, and I remembered we once in shul did it over a couple of weeks talking about Rosh Chodesh. And Nisan is the beginning of our spring. It's the beginning of the Jewish year. There's a different year called Tishrei, and that starts in the fall and it ends in the fall. But the Jewish year starts in the spring, and it comes back to the spring. We're always fresh. We're always new. So this is the beginning. He says the word chodesh doesn't mean month. It means renewal. It's the beginning of our renewal now. And every month we have another renewal. But this is the beginning of all renewals is this month. So it's timely because today is literally Rosh Chodesh Nisan right now. We should all have joy in our avodas Hashem. Realize that the more we give, the more we get. And the more we have, the more we should be a beacon of light to the world and to our neighbors, and to dedicate ourselves more and more to Hashem is actually an opportunity to do good in our world. Okay, happy cleaning, everybody.